All right, so we said we're going to start a new alcohol. Ireland says a whiskey is his choice, which I'll go along with. Actually, no. Let's go tequila because I think we found the name. Dos Mensos.
How do you spell
and Jorge,
Mensos?
Tell us what that means.
Dos Mensos. D-O-S-M-E-N-S-O-S. So Dos Mensos means two idiots, two dummies, two
Perfect.
Around those lines.
Dos Mensos. That should be the new nickname for the show, Dos Mensos.
Okay, so they say it's spelled M-E-N-S-E-S. It's an informal adjective meaning silly or stupid.
Yeah.
There you go. Freddie Prinz Jr. texted me. He says, Mace Plant Whiskey. I was on Whiskey the night of the Mace Plant, the world-famous Mace Plant that still circulates somehow every couple of months where I crash my face while playing basketball. It is in infamy, no question. All right, so the ESPN, and put what stock in this you believe in. Like, Football Power Index, I'm like, whatever, Football Power Index, FPI, I don't know what you guys are doing. I don't know what goes into your formulation of FPI. Do you, John, do you know the calculation, the way they put it together?
No. But I was thinking, Mace Plant, your greatest basketball memory?
No, my
personal
greatest
memory, like not like memory? Going to the Laker game or anything, but you in a game you played in, is that your most memorable moment?
I went on a tear in seventh grade basketball.
Really?
I was coming off the bench. I scored 11. I think that's my highest. That's my best basketball achievement. 11 points in a seventh grade game.
So I was playing basketball once and in a charity game when I was working in Beaumont, Texas.
Yep.
And there was a defensive lineman from Beaumont named Jerry Ball. He was the nose guard for the Detroit Lions. So he had a charity fundraiser. And part of the fundraiser was a basketball game, so all the sports anchors played in the basketball game.
Sure.
And so he walks in with a bunch of his teammates from the Lions. And one of them is Barry Sanders.
Okay. Wow.
And we go out to the center jump circle, and they all match up, and Barry Sanders matches up on me. And he says, "Hey, man, I'm Barry." And I said, "Yeah, I know." He says, "Take it easy on me. This is not my sport." And I kind of look at him and go, "I'm sure you'll do fine." They tip the ball to Sanders. He goes around me on the left and scores. They come down the next time. He goes around me on the right, then scores. And he says, I say after that, I go, "I thought this wasn't your sport." He goes, "Well, maybe I'm better at it than I think. I'm kind of surprising myself." I think he sandbagged me the whole time, don't you?
Oh, yeah, no question he sandbagged you. I mean,
but he was such a nice guy about it. You know, like he was never like boastful or, you know, I just got played by Barry Sanders.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's a great story. Why not? Yeah, and I think he was sandbagging you all along completely.
All right, so what is this rating thing
Okay. So, Football Power Index, and I have no idea how they reach these conclusions.
It's one of those ESPN things.
Far be it for me to be critical of the Football Power Index and whatever the hell goes into that formula. But they have come up with their preseason projections according to the FPI. So, let's just take the NFC West. Who has got the best chance to win the division according to FPI?
Oh, that's good. So it's either – I don't think it's Arizona. So I think it's either Seattle, San Francisco, or the Rams. I'm going to say it's either the Rams or San Francisco. I'll say it's the Rams.
It is actually San Francisco.
Ugh.
33% chance to win the division, 68% chance to reach the playoffs. The Rams are second, 29%, so it's very close, and 64% chance to reach the playoffs. And Seattle is right there, third. The difference, they say, is that San Francisco has three games based on last year's standings against the Eagles, Bengals, and Falcons. So they've got an easier schedule. The Rams have a schedule that is in the top half in terms of difficulty. And even that 17th game, you know what the 17th game was for the Rams, right?
Is that the one where they mailed it in?
No. The game 17, you know how they added a game to the schedule?
Oh, this year. No, yeah. I don't know what it is.
It's at Baltimore.
Oh,
so
great.
We drew a really tough game for our 17th game. You play the team that finished exactly where you finished in the other conference. That's how they decide who you play. And for us, we get the Ravens on the road, so a really tough matchup. That also could be a difference maker. But I don't know. I think Trey Lance, I think they're going to be breaking in Trey Lance at some point this year. And I don't think that's any way to win football games.
That's not a bad thing necessarily. Trey Lance is pretty good.
Yeah, but I mean, you're breaking in a rookie quarterback in the middle of a race for the division title. I just think that's going to be a disadvantage for San Francisco. Meanwhile, percentages to win the Super Bowl. Okay, this is again according to FPI. Percentages to win the Super Bowl. Who's number one?
Well, based on that, the Niners would have a better playoff position, so I'll say the Niners.
No. Of all the teams in the league.
Oh, Kansas City's number one.
Yeah, Kansas City's 19% chance of winning it all. Next, what do you think the second choice is?
Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay at 15%, which I'm not buying on at all. I'm not buying on Tampa Bay. I saw us beat them last year in Tampa. I'm not buying. They got hot at the right time, but I don't think that's as good a team as we saw in the Super Bowl in real life. Buffalo is third. At 6%, Green Bay, 6%, Baltimore, 6%, 49ers, 6%, Rams, 5%.
Really?
Now, I think the Rams are going to be really, really good this year. I don't think people realize how good Matthew Stafford is. Matthew Stafford has toiled away. Actually, if you play fantasy football, you know this. Matthew Stafford is a stats machine. He can put up points. He can throw for yard. He's got a deep ball. He's got things that Jared Goff never had. And you put him in the hands of an offensive genius like Sean McVay, and I think all of a sudden you've got one of the most electric offenses in the league.
I would agree with you if Cam Akers didn't get hurt. I think there has to be some effect from the Akers injury, don't you?
You know, I'm a big Darrell Henderson fan. I don't think this team is going to be reliant necessarily on running the football. I don't. I think that they will plug somebody in after they get a chance to look at some of these guys during the preseason. We'll see on Saturday. We'll see the actual guys that are going to get a chance to win that running back job or win a running back job on the depth chart. And they're guys like Xavier Jones and Raymond Calais and Jake Funk and Otis Anderson. Those are the guys that are going to have a chance to be part of that running back depth. But your lead guy, at least as of this moment, is Darrell Henderson. And if I was the Rams, I would immediately go out and sign Adrian Peterson.
I would too, but I don't think they're going to do it.
I want a third down back that I can trust. I want a third down back who...
See, I look at Henderson as more of a third down back. I look at Henderson because he can catch the ball out of the backfield, like third and six, third and seven. He's
perfect. Oh, you know what? Yeah, no, he's more of a Darren Sproles kind of catch
right.
the ball. I'm thinking about third and goal. I'm thinking about fourth and goal at the one. I want somebody I can put the ball in his hands and I know he can score. And to me, that's somebody like Adrian Peterson. That's the one I've circled. There are other running backs out there, and you've mentioned a bunch of them, but Adrian Peterson is the guy that I want. And I hope he's listening to the show, because I think that's the direction that the Rams need to go. I think they can't go into the season with just Darrell Henderson and a bunch of undrafted free agents.
I hope you're right. But there's just been no indication from any of the Rams brass that that's what they're thinking.
Yeah, you're right. They have not said a word. They have not said a word about it. They've said they're going to evaluate the talent they have. I mean, who knows? Maybe there's – I mean, Les Snead is a smart guy. Maybe there is a diamond in the rough amongst those undrafted free agents. Maybe somebody there is the answer to the question that we're asking and the NFL is asking, which is how do the Rams replace Cam Akers? I mean, we'll see a little bit. This gives me a reason to – Saturday night I'm going to be at SoFi Stadium for the very first football game ever played there. And I'm so excited about that. But maybe that's a reason to watch is, you know, check out these running backs and see who looks like they could be part of a stable of running backs for the Rams this year.
Well, we'll find out soon enough. You're going to get a look at these guys for the first time on Saturday. Are you excited about Saturday?
I am so excited, John. I'm so excited. You know, it's been such a long time coming. And As you guys know, if you listen to the show, I made a personal investment in Rams personal seat licenses. Juan and I go to every game. We've been at every game since the Rams got here. And this is the first time we will actually be able to sit in our seats. And I, in no way do I mean to brag, but they're pretty good seats.
No, they're pretty good. You're not bragging. I've sat in your seats. They're unbelievable. So, I mean, I think you're going to look back on that as one of the great decisions of all time. That I'm excited for you. Those seats are so good.
My first TikTok video, I'm going to shoot inside SoFi Stadium on the very first night. What do you think?
Ramona says you and her did a TikTok video
already. That's BS. The TikTok that she set up is Little Baby Mace. That's not my TikTok. That's her. It's a bunch of baby pictures. There won't be baby pictures on my TikTok.
All right, good.
There'll be a complete tour of SoFi Stadium.
By the way, breaking news, Luka Doncic, $207 million 5-year contract.
Boy, everybody's getting paid this year, huh?
Yeah, he's worth it.
Oh, no question, he's worth it. And by the way, breaking news on 710 ESPN is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit SoCalOilChange.com to find a location near you and to download up to $15 in coupons. Again, Luka Doncic signs a brand new extension with the Dallas Mavericks, and it seems like a bunch of people have gotten paid. What is holding up, unless I missed it, I don't think Kawhi Leonard has signed an extension yet, has he?
Yeah, he agreed to one over
the
weekend.
So he agreed one over the weekend.
Hasn't signed, but he agreed to one.
Yeah. Everybody's getting paid this year, which is great. And, of course, KD, who got paid, carried us through the Olympic basketball tournament. Literally carried us. He is so good. I saw Kendrick Perkins say, greatest scorer in the history of the NBA, which I consider to be overstatement. But, John, who do you think is the greatest scorer in the history of the NBA?
Well, Kareem has scored more points than anybody. But Michael Thompson agrees with Perk.
That it's KD?
He says that there has never been – remind me to bring this up with Michael when he comes in on Wednesday.
Yeah.
He says there has never been anybody in the history of the NBA who has more tools in his bag than Kevin Durant. He can shoot threes over – like, Dirk Nowitzki was a seven-footer who could shoot threes.
Yes.
But he can't shake you like Durant can around the basket and shoot, you know, or fast break you and dunk on your head. You know, Dirk had a post-up game, but he didn't have Durant's quickness or shooting ability. Durant is a seven-footer who has unlimited range. And he has post moves, and he makes all his free throws, and he's led the NBA in scoring 4 times.
Okay, but let me just ask you, why is Kareem not the greatest scorer of all time if he scored the most points? I mean, it literally,
because Durant isn't finished yet.
But it is the answer to the question, who is the leading scorer in, who's the greatest scorer in the history of the league, is the guy that scored the most points, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Well, the other way I could come back at you is Michael Jordan won the scoring title 10 times.
Didn't score as many points as Kareem.
Because he didn't play as long, and he went to go play baseball.
But isn't
that
part of it?
Does that make Kareem a better scorer?
Yeah, I would argue that as long as Kareem is the leading scorer in the history of the league, he's the greatest scorer in NBA history.
This is a great question for Michael, because he idolizes Kareem, but he watched Durant play with Clay for those 2 years or 3 years, however long they played together, and said he'd never seen anything like it.
So it's going to be a regular Sophie's Choice for him.
Correct. Yeah, and I know how much respect Michael has for Kareem, and Michael played against George Gervin, who was another great scorer. He called the majority of Kobe's career. I think Kobe's third all time. And he says Durant, nobody has ever had the ability to score like Kevin Durant.
All right, so we anticipate a phone call from Carmelo Anthony at any minute here.
He's still going. He's up there doing the Steve Mason thing.
He's still saluting the crowd and giving the people what they want. And he will give us some of what we want coming up sometime this hour. I'm confident he's going to be here. Have you seen this Field of Dreams game they're doing?
Yeah, Saturday.
Did you see the brand new concession item that they've created?
No.
Oh, it's good. It's good. I like this one. I like this invention. Got that coming up for you. Plus, at any minute, Carmelo Anthony will join us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're home of the Los Angeles Lakers, and we are expecting Carmelo Anthony to join us any minute here. In the meantime, they're doing that Field of Dreams game. We'll dump out of this if Melo calls. The Field of Dreams game is on ABC on Thursday night. It is the White Sox.
It's not on Fox?
No, I'm pretty sure it's on ESPN. Well, no, I shouldn't say that.
I
don't know where
it's on.
It's on Fox?
It's on Fox on Saturday.
So Guy Fieri has invented a brand new concession item.
Guy Fieri, the celebrity chef?
Correct. The guy with the spiky blonde hair.
Yeah.
It is an all-beef hot dog, apple pie filling, Fieri's signature bacon jam enveloped in a flaky crust and topped with an apple mustard drizzle, apple pie spice, and sugar. What do you think of the brand new invention? I don't even know if he's got a name for this thing yet. The brand new invention for the Field of Dreams game.
I'm in. I like
Doesn't
all
it
those
sound
things.
Good?
There's not one thing on that list you read that I don't like.
Yeah, I mean, it's apple pie and a hot dog. What could be more American? It may be the most American concession item ever. What's that?
Is it a dessert?
I think it's probably in between, right? Because it's a hot dog and apple pie. So I think it's
That sounds disgusting. You're going to mix a hot dog with apple pie? Ugh.
Oh, it sounds great to me. It sounds great to me. I would totally do that.
I'll put ketchup on it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Of course you'll put ketchup on it. Jorge will put ketchup on anything. Do you know that, John? Jorge put ketchup on the Dodger dogs the other night.
What's weird about me is I only put ketchup on hamburgers and I only put mustard on hot dogs.
Yeah, not weird. I'm exactly the same way.
I don't know why. I have no. If you ask me why, I don't have an answer.
Mustard and onions on a hot dog, mayonnaise and ketchup on a burger. That's the way I view it. And I think most people, except for Jorge, believe that. Right,
no,
Jorge?
Well, dude, it's fine if you put whatever you want to put in your hot dog. I put whatever I want on my hot dog. I can't explain
why.
It's
do
just
other
me.
People care?
That's it.
Yeah.
It's just I just have a judgment about it.
Okay. Well, I don't have a judgment about your onions and mustard.
I'm judging. I'm judging, Jorge.
It's okay. It's okay.
It's a test of character. It's a test of character.
Michael Thompson puts ketchup on everything.
Yeah, he does. He does. Ketchup is delicious.
Is a bigger
in the right
test
place.
Of character.
What's a bigger test of character?
You're judging.
Oh, you think that's a test of character? That's my job every day. They put me on there to judge things,
so
I'm judging.
Okay. Of these three things that Michael does, what is the most egregious?
Okay.
So you go to a nice steakhouse with Michael. Thing number one is he will wear sweats. So everybody else is dressed in a collared shirt and slacks.
Yes.
Nice shoes. Michael, sweats and tennis shoes. All right?
That's
number one. Number two, some steakhouses, especially the nice ones, will be highly offended if you put ketchup on steak.
Yes.
Michael knows this, so he brings a small bottle of ketchup with him to the restaurant.
Oh, God.
All right? And number three, when he walks in, he will have a red Solo cup filled to the top with wine, so he does not have to pay the exorbitant wine prices. He will have a full glass of red, nice wine normally, but a red Solo cup. So he walks in and sweats with a red Solo cup and a bottle of ketchup in his pocket. Which one of those things is the most egregious?
I think it's the Solo cup, man. I think they have that thing called corkage fee where even if you bring your own bottle of wine and you open it, you've got to pay the restaurant some money.
That's how he gets around the corkage thing.
Yeah, I think that's the most egregious. That's cheaper than cheap.
Some places will tell him, sir, we can't have you drinking a red Solo cup. Can we put that in a wine glass for you? And he'll say, sure.
Is that the way people react? People are okay. Restaurant people are okay with it?
Sure. He's Michael Thompson. He's an international celebrity.
I find the steak on the ketchup on steak thing not necessarily the biggest deal in the world because people use A1 steak sauce all the time. So ketchup isn't that big a deal. I think it's a waste of a perfectly good steak. I'll tell you it's a waste of good steak is going to a fancy restaurant like Dear John's that I went to with the boss people, and the boss people are really irritating, and then the food doesn't even taste good.
You were so annoyed by the company that it ruined the food?
It ruined the food. It absolutely did. You know what I did this weekend, which Dwight Howard recommended, was we ordered hamburgers from a place called The Window on Rose
Right, that's by
Avenue.
Your house.
And they are fantastic.
That's right. Dwight said that was his favorite spot.
I think Dwight is dead on the money. I don't know if I will ever get hamburgers from anywhere else again. They are so friggin' good. Strong ups to Dwight Howard for that shout out. And it's completely unsolicited. It's called The Window, American Beauty. It's on Rose Avenue in Venice. And you should definitely check that place out because those burgers, they are killing it.
Hey, did you watch any of the Lakers Summer League game last night?
No.
Okay, so they have two players who reminded me a lot of Alex Caruso. And not just because these two guys are white. One of these guys is Mac McClung. Have you seen this dude play?
No, have not.
Really good shooter, super aggressive. So with the game on the line, they're down two. And Mac McClung hits a couple of free throws, and then where they were down four, he had two free throws, then tied the game with a mid-range jumper, makes it 71. And the other guy is a guy named Austin Reeves, who played at Oklahoma last
okay.
year, who caught he basically had a rebound putback that won the game for the Lakers. They ended up winning by one. I wonder if that's why the Lakers were willing to let Caruso go, because they had these two dudes in the pipeline. You should watch.
Now, are those guys on two-way deals?
Reeves is, for sure. I don't know if McClung is or not. I'll look it up. But
so you think we could actually see these guys?
Oh yeah, you'll see him
at the NBA level this
Reeves,
year.
You'll see Reeves for sure. You'll see Reeves in the preseason.
Oh, in the preseason, sure.
And I think you'll see McClung too. I think he played really well too. So I mean, he didn't make his shots early. He was like 2 for 9, but then when the game was on the line, he had a bunch of big plays.
Yeah.
So that might be one of the reasons that might take the sting out of losing Caruso a little bit, is these two guys really look like they can play.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, people are going to miss Caruso.
Sure.
You know, Caruso's folk hero, legend status, Caruso. I mean, you're getting all that stuff. I'm happy that he got a big deal. I'm happy that he cashed in and was able to. I'm disappointed that he's not with the Lakers, but I do understand it. And by the way, is Dennis Schroeder still out there?
I think so.
Oh, my God.
I think he's going to end up in Boston, but I'm not sure.
That guy turned down $84 million, and now he's – I mean, is he going to get – is he going to get any money?
Yeah. But, I mean, it probably isn't going to be $84
million. Oh, it's definitely not going to be $84 million. He blew that. He completely blew that. That's got to keep you up at night. That's got to – I mean, that's fire the agent time, isn't it?
Maybe. He could go back to Germany. I don't know what the money's
he
like.
He owns that team in Germany. Did you know that?
Well, then that's not really – that's kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul, isn't
he
it?
He could hire himself to play for his German team if he wanted to. But, yeah, no sign of him. And the Lakers still technically could do a sign-and-trade. It's unlikely at this point.
Right.
But they could conceivably do a sign-and-trade. I don't think they'd bring him back under any circumstances. I just don't think he's a Laker. I don't think he got what it means to be a Laker. So I don't want him back. I don't think he's coming back. But could you flip him for something? Maybe you could flip him for something.
Yeah, like you said, it's unlikely. You'd need a team that had no cap space that'd be willing to give you assets. Most teams can figure out a way to get him in without even dealing with the Lakers because he's an unrestricted free agent. But maybe.
Strange. By the way, let me bounce a couple of names off you. These guys are still out there. Avery Bradley.
I know they liked him when he was here. Won a ring. So sure, possible.
Isaiah Thomas.
Not really what they need, although he had 81 points in a charity game over the weekend.
Paul Millsap.
I've always loved his game.
I do, too.
But I don't think he's what the Lakers are looking
for. Yeah, I don't think he fits. I don't think he fits. J.J. Redick.
That is what the Lakers are looking for, but it's just adding to the narrative that you've got a really old team.
Yeah, but you got to shoot. I don't think we can. I don't think we care about the narrative, do we?
Everybody can
have their narrative. I don't really care.
But how about how many minutes are you going to get out of J.J.
How about Wes Matthews?
Love him. Would love to see him come back.
How about Josh Hart?
Didn't Josh Hart sign somewhere?
I've got him listed as unrestricted free agent.
Boy, I don't know how the Lakers can afford him because they gave that most of that mid-level away to Kendrick Nunn.
But don't you think at this point he's getting a veteran's minimum?
Not Josh Hart. I think he'll get a little more than that. I think he'll get at least a mini mid-level. But, you know, yeah, if he's available, do it in a heartbeat. He's great.
Yeah, in a heartbeat. Yeah, there's
other than the fact that he thinks that White Castle is better than In-N-Out, he is a great guy.
Yeah, Whitey Castillas is not better than In-N-Out. Although McDonald's, in my opinion, is better than In-N-Out.
Yeah, you're out of your mind.
And that's considered by many one of my most controversial takes.
You're out of your mind. All right, Lindsay's telling us to break, and then we'll hope we get – well, the other thing we could do to increase our chances to get Melo is we could play Game of Games next.
Oh, yeah, we could do that.
If you want to.
Yeah, we could do that.
Calling in any minute.
We'll fill it out. He's going to call in any minute. Let's get a break in, and we will hear from Carmelo Anthony here in a couple of minutes, so make sure you're here. Joining us right now is a new member of the Los Angeles Lakers. We are excited to have him. Carmelo
yes!
Anthony is here. Carmelo, welcome. How are you, man?
Thank you.
Melo, it is so great to have you here. Let me ask you this. Did we have a chance to get you when you were a free agent before, when you came out and visited, or was your heart at that point of your career in New York and we were kind of a backup plan? How close were we to getting you before to come play for the Lakers when you were free?
It never was a backup plan. So you never was a backup plan. For some reason, I've always been associated with the Lakers some way, somehow. And I, you know, maybe Kobe was, maybe not, but I've always been associated with the Lakers. I mean, since early on in my career. So, you know, I guess they say, you know, time, I always say timing is everything, and it couldn't have been a better time for me to be a Laker now.
So I'm curious from you, Carmelo. You went through a stretch where you wanted to play, and there wasn't a job for you anywhere. You finally caught on with Portland. What was that period like for you going through that?
It was eye opening. It was stressful. I say eye opening, but it was stressful in the sense that I couldn't get past the question of why me,
yeah.
Right? So it took me a while to get past why me. So I had to stop self-sabotaging myself and say, you know what? It is what it is. Some things are just not in our control. So do what you have to do. Stand tall on who you are and what you believe in, and remain solid. And, you know, you don't have to waver for anybody. You don't have to, you know, do something that everybody else wants you to do. You have an understanding of what you want to do, and you make that move. And so it took me a while to kind of, you know, get away from the game and say, you know, disconnect from the game in order for me to come back right.
Carmelo Anthony is our guest, newest Laker. Melo, people say, well, it might not work putting Melo and Russ and LeBron and AD all on the same team, but the truth of the matter is you guys have played on the same team before. You were on Team USA together. You were in All-Star games together. It's not like you guys don't know each other. How do you envision working with the other three stars? How do the four of you play together at a winning championship level?
It's easy when you all have the same goal and you all are on the same path to the same goal. There's a deeper understanding that we all have to have. And again, at this point in all of our careers, and you know, AD being a little younger, Russ being a little, you know, right underneath of me and LeBron, we have an understanding. LeBron and AD won before, so they know what it takes, you know, to get there in that journey and everything that comes along with it. Me and Russ have a different type of experience. Now, we know what it takes, and we have the mindset and the ideology of what it takes, but we haven't had that experience. So now we merging all of these things in together, and it'll be a beautiful thing. So I'm not – it's hard to say how it's going to work because we haven't even figured it out yet. Like, we – you know, everybody is still summertime. Everybody's family. Everybody's vacationing. you know, when it comes that time to lock in and get ready for training camp and, you know, the guys start coming together, that's when you start building that camaraderie, and that's when you start building a winning team.
Carmelo Anthony is with us, brand new Laker, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So one thing of the last couple of years when you were in Portland, you had your best three-point shooting years. Last year you shot 41% from three. What kind of transition has that been for your game?
Well, again, it's just different situations, right, and in different moments. So that was a situation where I had to adapt. Again, I had to adapt my game to what was going on and to the situation and to the personnel that I had around me. So I looked and I watched and I observed, okay, this is what I need to do, and this is what, okay, I have to do it this way. I have to work on this, and I have to do this. So, and you know, to be honest with you, with that, it came times where it's like, man, like I ain't feeling right about this. So I ain't, you know, this don't feel right for me, and I ain't doing this the right way. You know, so that comes with the season. So having guys that respect you and that you respect, that you could talk to, and when things get tough, and you know, everybody's in the same battle together. So that's what got me through Portland and being able to adapt to my environment and to my situation.
We're talking to Carmelo Anthony. Melo, I got here to L.A. and started working with the Lakers the year Kobe got here and got to know him really well. And I was stunned one day when I said, are you the best? I said to Kobe, are you the best mid-range shooter in the league? And he said, it's Melo. He said, it's Carmelo. He said, he shoots like me. He said, he's like me. He said, he goes, I can play perfect defense on him and he still scores. What was your relationship like with Kobe, and what do you miss the most about him?
My relationship was my relationship, man. It was deeper than a relationship. It was a connection that we had. It was a bond that we had. It was a mindset that we, you know, that we had, that we admired about one another. You know, he's always been that guy, you know, kind of give me that tough love, and you know, when having bad games or bad shooting nights, and you know, he's always calling and want to curse you out, and you know, he was a big brother, you know, the way that a big brother should be. You know, it was, you know, and like you said, you know Kobe, so it was always tough love with him. It was always challenges and tests that you had to pass when it came to him. But you know, if he supported you and he rocked with you, then you was gonna feel that, you was gonna feel that full support, and that was something that I always admired about him. You know, we could be in the season and we might not talk for months or weeks, and you know, we get back on the phone or we, you know, text message or whatever, and it's just like we, you know, we just spoke last night. So, you know, that's a different type of bond that we have.
You're now playing for a 17-time NBA champion, the Los Angeles Lakers, coming off a championship in 2020. What does it mean to you just to be a Laker?
I think people downplay that as far as what it truly means to be a Laker. It's special. Like I don't want to downplay that. Like it's a special thing. It's a special moment. It's a special experience that, you know, for me, I want to embrace that. You know, no, I haven't played for the Lakers before for years. You know, I've been, you know, the opposer over here and playing against the Lakers and trying to beat the Lakers and being booed by the Lakers. And you know what I'm saying? Like it was, that's where I come from. But now, even in the midst of all of that, I still understood, like, damn, this is what it means to be a Laker. And I had some of that experience being in New York, being in another major market in a big organization. It's like, I know what it meant to be a Knick, you know, not just from the basketball, but just the camaraderie that the city had for that. So I know what it means to be, you know, a Laker, and just that camaraderie and being in that big market and being with that organization. And I understand all of that. So I don't take any of that for granted.
All right. Last thing for me, Melo. I was there the night Kobe scored 61 in the Garden. And for a few years, he held the scoring record in that building until you broke it when you scored 62 in 2014. Were you aware of that? Did you know that Kobe had 61 and that 62 would break it? Was that something that you guys laughed about, or did it just kind of evolve and happen?
No, I mean, but before that, no. I mean, we all know, you know, it's certain people and certain players throughout the course of basketball and just sports that you just know their big their moments, right? You
right.
support that. You understand that. So Kobe 61 in the Garden was a major moment. You know, it was a major milestone. So everybody knew that. Going into that game, my game, I wasn't expecting to score 60, 61, you know, so
yeah.
62. it wasn't until after the game when I talked to him and he's like, oh, why you had to do that? Or you want to do that? Or I got a one up. I'm coming back. Like, it was all, I'm like, yo, you scored 61, I scored 62. You going to one up me again? Like, what do you want to do? Score 100? Like, what do you want to do? So those were the conversations that we had after that.
Awesome. Well, listen, we are really excited that you're here, man. We're really excited for this upcoming season, see all the pieces fit together. Thank you for coming on, Mello. We really appreciate your time.
I appreciate you guys, and I look forward to being around you guys. Thank you.
Awesome. All right, thanks, Mello.
There's Carmelo Anthony. And, yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, he said his role adapted in Portland. What exactly is his role going to be on this team? It'll be fine. I kind of see a starting lineup that includes Mello. Frank Vogel may have a completely different intention, completely different idea, but I can see Mello starting at the four for the Lakers and LeBron starting at the three.
It will be interesting to see, like he said, we don't know what it looks like yet. We need to kind of get out there and play games and figure it out. So, man, but I can't wait to see this team play.
It's going to be fascinating. Fascinating to watch all year long. All right, Game of Games next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Game of Games time, and so far in the month of August, Jorge has won three times. I've won once. Lindsay yet to scratch. Ireland yet to scratch. Momo has scored a point, and we'll leave her on the scoreboard because she's going to be filling in a fair amount the rest of the month. John, what's the game today?
All right, this is about Madden ratings. NFL players make a big deal about their Madden rating.
Oh, yeah.
For example, the best defensive player is Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
His rating is 99, so it's out of 100.
Okay.
I have a list of the new Madden ratings. I'll give you guys three players. You tell me which guy is rated the highest.
Okay.
Here we go. Start with three Rams. A, Cooper Kupp, B, Robert Woods, C, Cam Akers. Lindsay, Kupp, Woods, or Akers?
Oh, I'm going to go Cooper Kupp.
Okay, Jorge.
Yeah, I'll go Cooper Kupp.
Mate.
And I am going to make it unanimous, Cooper Kupp.
The answer is Robert Woods.
Oh!
Robert Woods, 87. Cooper Kupp, 86. Cam Akers, 82. So all close. By the way, all these are relatively close.
Okay.
Jorge, start with you. Justin Herbert, the Chargers quarterback, Matthew Stafford, the Rams quarterback, or Derek Carr, the Raiders quarterback? Herbert, Stafford, or Carr? Jorge.
Stafford.
Mace.
Stafford.
Lindsay.
Although I think it's a trick.
I'm going to go Carr.
The correct answer is Matthew Stafford. He
yes.
has a rating of 83. Derek Carr, 81. Justin Herbert, 80. So both Jorge and Mason are on the board. Mace, this one starts with you. Three great receivers. A, DeAndre Hopkins. B, Stephon Diggs. C, Julio Jones. Hopkins, Diggs, or Jones? Mace.
Hopkins.
Lindsay.
Diggs.
Jorge.
Hopkins.
The answer is DeAndre Hopkins,
yeah.
98. Stephon Diggs, 97. Julio Jones, 95. So it is Mason 2, Lindsay 1, Jorge 1. It's close. All right, Lindsay, back to you. A, Myles Garrett of the Browns. B, J.J. Watt of the Cardinals. Or C, Fletcher Cox of the Eagles. Garrett, Watt, or Cox?
Myles Garrett.
Jorge. Garrett, Watt, or Cox?
I'll go with Garrett.
Okay, Mace.
I'm on Garrett also.
You guys are all correct. Myles Garrett, highest ranked defensive lineman in the league, 98. J.J. Watt, 94. Fletcher Cox, 93.
Better be.
All right, Jorge.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, or George Kittle? All right, nice. Hill, Kelce, or Kittle? Who are you going with?
Travis Kelce.
Kelce. Oh, that's right. He changed his pronunciation. Mace, Hill, Kelce, or Kittle?
I am with Mr. Kelce.
Lindsay.
I'm going to go Kelce.
All three of you correct again. This was really close. Kelce, 99. Tyreek Hill, 98. George Kittle, 96.
What's the score? I've lost track.
Mace, you have four.
Yep.
Lindsay and Ori have three each.
Okay, so I got a lead here.
Yep, by one. And the first, you get the first one here. Ezekiel Elliott, Josh Jacobs, or Saquon Barkley? Three running backs. Elliott, Jacobs, or Barkley? Mace, who?
Saquon Barkley.
Lindsay.
Same.
Jorge.
Elliott.
You should have stuck with the crowd, Jorge. Saquon Barkley, 90. Josh Jacobs, 89. Ezekiel Elliott, 88. Mace with five. Lindsay with four. Jorge with three. Two left. All right, here we go. Mace, since you have the lead, you go first on these last two. Three defensive players. T.J. Watt, Khalil Mack, or Cam Jordan of the Saints? Watt, Mack, or Jordan? Who you got?
I got to go Khalil Mack.
Okay, Lindsay.
Mack? No, I got to go Jordan.
All right, Jorge.
I'll go Mack.
Mack is the correct answer, which means Mason has locked it up.
Yeah!
Mason, right, six, Mace. Lindsay, four, Jorge, four.
Nice.
So we don't need the last two. We can move right in to Lie
to
of
lie
the Day.
Lie of the Day.
Now, this is the first time I've been asked to do the lie. I told many, many stories.
Yep, you did.
Lindsay, what do you think the lie of the day was?
So I don't think that I got it. I think I must have missed it somewhere along the way. But if I had to guess, well, the thing I wrote down was when your dad told you that you shouldn't be a broadcaster because they're all former athletes, and your mom came in and said don't listen to them.
Okay. Jorge, what do you think the lie of the day is?
I'm with Lindsay, but also you not doing the Lakers. I don't. You would do the Lakers in a heartbeat.
No, well, that wasn't the question.
Instead of Joe, if you
had, if I had to pick one of Joe Buck's two jobs, doing lead NFL and lead MLB or Jeopardy.
Oh, okay.
I said I would do Jeopardy. What do you want to go with?
I'll go with Lindsay.
Okay, the story about my dad.
Your dad.
Okay.
All right. Mace?
I believe the story about your dad.
Yeah, you've heard me tell that before.
I believe the story about Jerry West and five or six people, and finally just Jerry barged in. I believe the Jeopardy. I believe you were the campus rep, and you were known as Budman and wore a uniform.
Okay.
I think the correct answer is you played basketball against Barry Sanders.
Okay. Lindsay and Jorge, I'm sorry. Mason's heard me tell that story before. That absolutely happened with my dad. He was worried that if I tried to go into sports casting, I would be stuck in Monroe, Louisiana forever. And my mom told me to ignore my dad and go for it.
Yes. Good for Myrna.
Mace, the Barry Sanders story is 100%
true. Oh, no.
Yeah, Jerry Ball was a big name in Beaumont. He brought Barry Sanders down there. He beat me left, beat me right, lit me up. I went to great detail to pull off this lie.
Okay.
I was never the Bud Man. That picture, that picture I sent you is my friend Keith Gunn, who I hired to be the Bud Man. I was the campus rep. That's my roommate Dave Habis playing basketball with the late, great Keith Gunn, who was perfect at it. At all these parties, he was my bosses loved him. Everybody loved him. He was like the perfect Bud Man. And so salute to the great Keith Gunn, but that was the lie.
Wow.
And I am now 1-0 against all of you.
You're 1-0. It's a hard game to win. It is. Tomorrow it'll be my lie. Plus, we'll be talking Westbrook. Russell Westbrook gets welcomed.
Yes, big day for me tomorrow.
We may talk to him right here on the show. Make sure you're back here, 12:55 sharp. Coming up next for you is Sedano and Cap. See you tomorrow, 710 ESPN.